The Radio Friends with Paul Pepper podcast is supported on KBIA by Moberly Regional Medical Center. From the flu to more serious health issues, the ER team at Moberly Regional has the knowledge and care to handle all types of injuries and illnesses. When you have an emergency, don't delay. Trust the ER team at Moberly Regional Medical Center at 1515 Union Avenue and at MoberlyHospital.com.
Good morning and welcome to Radio Friends. This is Thursday. It's February 6th, and you know that February is Black History Month. And today we have with us a very nice lady, Mary Ratliff, and I'm sure many of our listeners know Mary and know of Mary. You are with the president of the local and state NAACP.
That's correct.
Good to have you here, Mary.
Thank you.
You also now have your own television show on Mediacom. It's
yes.
called Roundtable with Mary Ratliff.
Mary Ratliff's Roundtable, yes.
Mary Ratliff Roundtable. Mm-hmm. Okay. But we had you on last year at this time during Black History Month. And as a Black lady, you grew up in the – you were born in the South.
Yes.
You moved to Missouri when?
In 1959. Right out of high school.
Yeah. You have many stories to share with people.
Yes.
Of how things were back then compared to how things are now.
Yes.
For Black people. In many ways, they're better, but in some ways, they're not.
That's correct.
Back in the 50s, you were not referred to as Black people. You were referred to as Negroes,
yes.
correct?
Yes, that was acceptable, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It could be called Negro. And last year, when you were here, and I want you to just recap that story real quick. When you came up from Mississippi, you had to sit in the back of the bus to come up to Missouri. Just tell that quickly.
That's right. Right. When I got on the bus in Mississippi, I had to go. There was a sign that said colored, okay? And I had to go to the back of the bus to sit. And then, of course, when we crossed the line into Illinois, they took the sign down, and folks could sit where they wanted. And that started to bother me, of course, you know, as I told you. And then, of course, coming back, I just got on the bus, got on the back seat because it disturbed me. So I think it had raised my conscience to the degree that I was not going to get up from the front. And go
sit in the back.
Right.
Yeah. That was down south where you had to sit in the back. But when you got into Illinois, you could sit anywhere.
You
couldn't eat anywhere, could you?
Right.
Or drink from the same fountains.
Well, I don't recall having that problem at the bus station. I don't recall having that particular problem at the bus station. That might have very well been true.
Okay.
But I don't recall experiencing that problem.
When you moved here, you and your husband wanted to buy a house, correct? You lived in an apartment.
Yes.
And you'd saved your money.
Mm-hmm.
You had good credit.
Mm-hmm.
And you decided that you wanted to buy a house. What
yes.
happened?
Yeah, we lived in an apartment up on Banks Avenue, so right down the street on Sexton Road. This builder, my husband worked three jobs, worked at Boone Hospital, cleaned the physician's office, several physician offices, and worked for Dr. Roger Bumgardner in the yard in the evening. So he worked three jobs. So we saved the money to try to buy a house. And when we thought we had enough, we called this person who owned three of the houses still there on Sexton Road and asked him if we could look at one of the houses, and he said, yes, we could. We made a deal on Sunday afternoon, and of course, realizing that Columbia still was segregated, still had segregated housing. And I said to him, now, you know that we are Negroes. I'm sure that's what I said. I don't remember what word I used, but, color Negro, whatever it was I used at the time. And he said, he had been so excited about it. And he said, Mrs. Ratliff, he said, you know, I'm so sorry. I'm sure that you all are nice people, and I want you to know that it's not me, but I have two other houses there. And if I sell you this house, I will not be able to sell that house because there's enough Blacks or whatever it is in Columbia right now that would buy those other two houses.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot sell them to whites. So I'm not going to be able to sell you the house.
So how did you feel when he told you that?
Oh, you're just devastated. I don't think that you can explain. I don't think there's any words to explain what you feel when you are discriminated against to that degree. You know, one of the things, I will never let anybody make me feel it, and with me, I guess it made me angry because I was taught, my father taught us, his saying was, a great man, you're my father. And he would say to me, us always set us down forever and say, let me share this with you. You are no better than anybody. You are no better than anybody. And then he said, and nobody is better than you, and don't you ever forget it.
And you've carried that with you throughout, throughout all of your life.
Absolutely.
Do you feel that we've made progress, the black people have made progress in equality? Now, obviously, there has been progress, but you'd like to see...
We've made great strides. We've made great strides, and we didn't do it all by ourselves. And I like to say this. I tell everybody this because we had white people. We had people of all colors and nationality to help us fight this fight that we fought. But we have not got to where we need to be. I am seeing a regression, a different boldness about people in their discriminatory processes. People are openly more discriminatory than they were. We went through a period of time when you would not hear those racial slangs or those that people use in the other. Now it is more commonplace. We're getting this, you know, we're getting more complaints that this is more commonplace. And then we're seeing our people. And I think it stemmed from the leadership, and what I keep saying and what I'm trying to do with my show that I'm doing is to say that we need like-minded people to come together and say that we're going to take this country to where it ought to be, where all people are
equal. And the thing that we need to keep in mind is our skin may be a different color.
Absolutely.
But we're all people. No matter whether you're black, you're white, you're yellow, We're all people.
Absolutely.
And we need to learn to live together
people.
If you want more history, if you want more information on Black History Month, there's a wealth of it on the internet. Mm-hmm. Mary, I thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.
And good luck with your new Mary Ratliff Roundtable.
Thank you.
On MediaCom.
Thank you.
Pleasure having you here.
I'm
glad I know you, and I'm glad to call you my friend.
Yes, I'm glad you're my
friend. All right. Mary Ratliff, you're going to get up and wait here till I close up.
Oh,
Mary.
I got it.
Okay. Right, we're out of time for today. Tomorrow, we've got singer-songwriter Larry Brown. She's ready to go to her own show right now. Singer-songwriter Larry Brown will be here. Our program directed by Travis McMillan of the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Audio is Pat Akers from KBIA. Our floor director is Casey Morrell, and our assistant producer and guest coordinator, Uncle James Mauser. And you know what? Today is a very special day also. My baby sister is celebrating her 59th birthday today.
All right.
And she's my
baby sister.
Grace Marie, happy birthday to you. I love you. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.